Order, please. Katanaika Royal Sinkan Lambert.
Announcements by the Speaker. I wish to inform that the following members have been nominated by the Committee of Selection on the 10th January 2019 to serve in the Committee on Public Enterprises in terms of the provisions of the Standing Order 121 of the Parliament. Honorable Rao Fakim, Honorable Suchi Vasena Singh, Honorable Dr. Harshad Sillu, Honorable Jitpi Perera, Honorable Vasant Aluvihari, Honorable Ranjit Ramanayaka, Honorable Ashok Abhay Singh, Honorable Anwar Priyadarshan Yapa, Honorable Lakshman Seneviratna, Honorable Chansri Gajadhira, Honorable Mahindananda Arudgamagi, Honorable Dasri Jayasekhar, Honorable Ravindra Samaravira, Honorable Sunil Hadunneti, Honorable Mavis S. Sinaja, Honorable Jayanth Samaravira. Presentation of papers. Honorable Minister of City Planning, Water Supply and Higher Education. Honorable Deputy Speaker, I present the order made by the Minister of Higher Education and Cultural Affairs under Section 27(1) of the Universities Act No. 16 of 1978 on the recommendation of the University Grants Commission with regard to the establishment of a Department of Polymer Science of Faculty of Applied Sciences in University of Sri Jayawardenepura and published in the Gazette Extraordinary No. 2091/6 of 1st October 2018. I move that this order be referred to the Sectoral Oversight Committee on Education and Human Resources Development. Honorable Minister of Plantation Industries, Honorable Deputy Speaker, I present the annual report of the Kalubovitiana Tea Factory Limited for the year 2016-17. I move that this report be referred to the Sectoral Oversight Committee on Agriculture and Lands. Thank you. Questions, Understanding Order 27-2 of the Parliament, Honorable Mahinda Rajapaksha. Honorable Deputy Speaker, the international government transferred many employees and they have taken steps to stop trade union activities of various institutions and institutions like ITN and have started protests against that and the Youth Council 20 employees have been transferred without taking into consideration the nature of their job and their qualifications and many other things that should be taken into consideration. And it includes 17 members in the Foreign Service Bureau, 26 members in district like Pornaro, Vavunia, Thirukkuramalaya. Officers, they have been transferred to those officers without any need of their service with effect from 1/28/19 and 31 employees in the National Housing Authority have been transferred to areas like Polonnaruwa, Badulla, Mundragala areas and the executive officers and 16 employees reports have been called to suspend the duties of those people and the urban development authority. The executive members and four other employees were given transfers. Violating the statutes established in the labor statutes, and several other employees have been transferred to areas like Trincomalee, Ampara, and many other areas. In addition to that, in Sri Lanka Transport Board, promotions have been given based on political supporters, and in Sri Lanka Railways. In Sri Lanka Civil Electricity Board and Ceylon Petroleum Corporation, they have started to take political revenge from the employees, and these revenges should be stopped, and these people engaged in their day-to-day activities amidst various difficulties. And I would like to focus the attention of this house, and such things have been done violating the accepted procedures, and those informal transfers should be cancelled forthwith, and they should be given the opportunity to work in the places they worked previously, and those who were interdicted in an inappropriate manner should be investigated, and they should be reinstated in their service, and these people work with much fresh pressure, and these trade union leaders should be delivered justice, and you must explain this situation to this August Assembly. Thank you. Honorable Ranjit Madhum Bandara, Honorable Deputy Speaker, the answer to the question asked by the Honorable Prime Minister is that our government did not transfer or interdict anyone based on political favors, and we created independent institutions, and we established independent institutions in the public service, and we strengthened the rights of the people of these institutions. And such promotions have not been given in those institutions, and when we looked into that matter, annual transfers based on the recommendations of the Public Service Commission have been started from February this year, and if union leaders the union leaders are not given transfers, if there are no disciplinary actions, and if a union leader in a statutory board or any other institution got a transfer or an interdiction or suspension of service or a promotion, such anomalies and their names and positions you can give to us their names and positions, and once we receive such information, we can take necessary action in this regard. Sometimes there are certain transfers done on service needs and on disciplinary matters, and there are statutory bodies and corporations. We have not yet appointed chairman for those institutions. That is what I said. If a union leader has been transferred, you can inform this to us, and we can take action in this regard, because they have professional rights, and if they have any investigation, disciplinary matters, that is a different matter. But on 8 January 2015, we received 32,000 cases on political revenges, and we did not act like that. And if something has happened in some place, we can take remedial measures and you can give us the relevant information and we can take necessary action in this regard. He was the one who did, who worked with us on political events. Honorable Deputy Speaker, I thank for Honorable Leader of the Opposition for bringing these problems, and I would like to remind you at this moment in UDA, the Chairman and Secretary and Treasurer have been given transfers and they complained to the Labour Commissioner and the officers did not meet the Labour Commissioner in ITN. 30 employees have been addicted. Honorable Member, when there's a breach of discipline, we cannot control an institution like that. If there's no discipline, and we cannot go like that. The officers were not given the opportunity to enter into the building. There were officers and they did not give the opportunity to enter the officers into the premises. If there's a dispute, you can make a complaint to the Labour Commissioner. And if they do not come to the discussion, how can they expect justice when a complaint is lodged with the Labour Commissioner? The officers do not go there. We know how did they behave during the protest. We do not want to act like that. We never expected to act like this. That we did not transfer a single SLFA, and you know the way you took revenge during your time, and you and me very well know those things. In UDA, the problem is different. You must look into that matter. If the Labour Commissioner summoned officers from an institution, they should be informed that they should cooperate in those matters. ITN is a different story. ITN is a different story. The way they behaved is unacceptable, and they did not allow those officers into the premises. Thank you, Honorable Douglas Devananda.
Honorable Deputy Speaker, I would like to ask this question from Honorable Vajra Abhayavardhana, Minister of Internal Affairs. The 13th Amendment of our Constitution provides powers to the provincial council to issue to resolve the issues of the conflicts of the people. This is one of the aspects which we have been in support from the beginning. Due to the inefficiency of those who were in power, these powers were exploited and our people were unable to resolve the issues through the Northern Provincial Council. And Provincial Council elections have been delayed as a result. Our people are without representatives. The Northern and Eastern provinces are still with the governors, and the people struggled for these political rights, and this government has denied them of their right to resolve their issues through provincial council. The people are unable to enjoy their political rights and development, and such activities have disabled them to enjoy their rights. Moreover, there are other four provincial councils for which elections are due. Under the Provincial Council Elections Act, there are provisions to do delimitations, and a committee was set up in this regard, and another review committee was set up, and the committee is due to submit its report, and it's been delayed by 2 months. And the report has not yet been presented to this house. Therefore, I have a few questions in this regard, and I request answers and clarifications from the Honorable Minister Vajra Abhayavardhana. First question. The committee set up under the leadership of Prime Minister, is it still functioning? If so, when will the report be submitted to the Parliament? Three, if not, what actions will you take in this regard? Four, the report of the delimitation committee has not been reviewed, but provincial council elections should be held immediately. Therefore, under the previous act, under proportional representation system, will you take actions to hold the elections? If not, the review committee's report should be presented to the House, or else are you planning to hold the election under a new system? And what are your ideas to expedite the election? So I would like to get answers from the Honorable Minister.
Honorable Deputy Speaker, I need 2 months' time to give a complete answer to this, because the decisions taken at the party leaders' meetings and the ideas of the President and the ideas of the Prime Minister and the ideas of the opposition leader have taken into consideration, and we need 2 months' time to give a proper answer to this question. Can you give an answer before that? I will give an answer as soon as possible, Honorable Deputy Speaker. Notice of motions.
Honorable Deputy Speaker, very recently, Honorable Prime Minister Ranil Wickremesinghe had a discussion with the opposition parties, and he promised to hold elections under the old system. Therefore, Honorable Minister, I urge you to expedite the elections. Thank you.
At the
commencement of public business, notice of motions, motion number one, leader of the House of Parliament, House agrees. Item number two, leader of the House, House agrees. Item number three, the leader of the House of Parliament, House agrees. Aye. Item number four, leader of the House. Thank you. As per the motions, approved by now, the names of the members are announced now as per the 122-1 of the Standing Orders of Parliament, and as per the resolution passed by Parliament today, the Select Committee of Selection selected members to serve in the Public Petitions Committee. Honorable Vajira Abhivadhan, Honorable Sujit Sinasing, Honorable Douglas Devananda, Honorable Mahindya Abhivadhan, Honorable Rajit Siembalavitiya, Honorable Bimath Nayaka, Honorable Anwar Sidney Jayaratna, Honorable Lakshman Ananda Vijay Mann, Honorable A.A. Vijay Tunga, Honorable Dr. Ramesh Patirana, Honorable Shahan Semasingha, Honorable Mailwaganam Thirgaraja, Honorable Taraka Balasuriya, Honorable Mohammed Ibrahim Mansur, Honorable Prasanna Ranaveera, Honorable Dr. Tushita Vijay Mann, Honorable Rohini Kumar Vijay Ratna, Honorable Shaminda Vijay Siri, Honorable Shanti Sri Skandaraja. Number 2. As per Standing Order 115 and resolution passed by Parliament today, this Committee of Selection has appointed with the chairmanship of Speaker and the Leader of the House and the Leader of the Opposition and Chief Government Whip and the Chief Opposition Whip appointed the following members: Honorable John Amarthunga, Honorable Raf Hakim, Honorable Ravikar Nayaka, Honorable Dr. Raj Sinaratne, Honorable Rishad Badiuddin, Honorable Parli Champikanavaka, Honorable Tharata Atukorala, Honorable Mano Ganeshan, Honorable Ajit P. Pereira, Honorable Nimal Siripada Silva, Honorable Dinesh Gunawardena, Honorable Anudhisa Nayaka, Honorable Douglas Devananda, Honorable Mahendra Samarasinghe, Honorable Dallas Salapuruma, Honorable M.A. Sumandiran, Honorable Prasanna Ranathunga. Number 3. As per Standing Order 126-1 and the resolution passed by Parliament today, the committee selection with the chairmanship of the Chief Government Whip and with the Chief Opposition Whip appoint certain the following members: Honorable K. Kadha Mastan, Honorable Angajan Ramanathan, Honorable Dirum Amunugama, Honorable S. M. Mohammed Smail, Honorable Rishan Singh, Honorable D. V. Chanaka, Honorable Velu Kumar, Honorable Dr. Nand Jayathissa, Honorable Pial Nishanath Silva, Honorable I. Charles Nimbaranathan, Honorable Sanjay Sujit Sanjay Perra, Honorable Hirunika Premachandra, Honorable S. M. Marikar, Honorable Rohini Kumar Vijayaratna, Honorable Chaminda Vijayasiri, Honorable Hesha Vitanagi. Number 4. As per the Standing Order 126 and the resolution passed by the Parliament today, when the selection appoints with the chairmanship of the Deputy Speaker and with Deputy Chairman of Committees, and the following members are appointed: Honorable Vijay Kala Maheshwari, Honorable Edugunasekar, Honorable Mali Viruansa, Honorable Faisal Mustafa, Honorable Nama Rajapaksha, Honorable M.A. Sumandiran, Honorable Swaridhu Amarasena, Honorable Nalak Prasad Kolonna, Honorable Sujaya Kodi, Honorable Dr. Anjayatissa, Honorable Mailwaganam Thirgaraja, Honorable Hirunika Premachandra, Honorable S.A. Marikar, Honorable Sandeep Samarasinghe. Item number 1, order under extradition law, presented to the Parliament on 9/2018, and it was considered in the Sectoral Oversight Committee, and the report of the said committee was presented to the 9th October 2018. Honorable Ruan Vijayawardena, you have 10 minutes. The extradition agreement between the Democratic Social Republic of Sri Lanka and Turkish government, the parliament, the agreement will be tabled to Parliament, and the the culprits who did criminal offenses, discussions were held between the authorities of various countries to bring back the culprits who did criminal offenses. Agreement should be entered into to achieve that purpose, and Sri Lanka has entered into extradition agreements in this regard. For example, Oman, Ukraine, Iran, Arab, Kuwait, Thailand, Vietnam, Maldives, United States of America were the countries with which we have entered into extradition agreements, and with the proposals of other countries, we have started discussions with the support of the relevant ministries. For example, Belarus and Korea, a discussion is being has been taken place, and this gazette notification submitted for the approval of parliament is about the agreement between Sri Lanka and Turkey. Such extradition agreements are under the extradition law, under the provision of the extradition law, and this agreement between Turkey and Sri Lanka, this gazette notification is the final step to achieve, to complete the legal process, and there are bilateral discussions between Turkey and Sri Lanka, and Sri Lanka and Turkey we must sign this agreement with Turkey, and on 23rd of January and as per the cabinet memorandum submitted to the cabinet, we have submitted this to the cabinet, and approval of the cabinet was granted, and as per the cabinet approval granted, the Democratic Socialist Republic of Sri Lanka and Turkey, an agreement can be signed, and the Minister of Foreign Affairs from Sri Lanka side and the Minister of Justice from Turkey have signed this agreement, and filing cases and imposing fines, and to bring the culprits who fled the country will be covered by this law of extradition, and by giving imprisonments and or a punishment more than that, and punishments can be given according to the laws of those countries, and those extradition, this they will focus attention on terrorist activities also, and to prevent terrorism, and there are international conventions to prevent terrorism, and there are many other offenses directly or indirectly impact on the lives of the people, some lives of the people are in danger, such things have been included in these offenses.
The documents required for extradition, and which prevents temporary detention, it would provide the facilities for those matters as well. The extradition agreement between Turkey and Sri Lanka, it would help to prevent drug trafficking, human trafficking, and organized criminal activities, to bring those who are responsible for these activities to book, And this agreement will prove the collective responsibility and the commitment of both nations in order to prevent drug trafficking and human trafficking. According to the provisions of the fourth clause, when Sri Lankan government reach agreement with the extradition law, the extraordinary gazette notification has been published. And Turkey and Sri Lanka, for implementing the agreements between the two nations, the order that was published under the gazette notification has been tabled in the parliament. Honorable Mahinda Marira, you have 25 minutes. Honorable Deputy Speaker, today I am joining this debate about the extradition law, order under the extradition law. This agreement has been reached with Turkey. And I would like to ask the State Minister of Defense, Honorable Ruan Vijayawardena, I would like to ask a simple question. You are signing this agreement with Turkey. And furthermore, as I am aware, Oman, UAE, Russia, China, Maldives, and America, this agreement has been signed. I would like to know whether you have plans to reach this agreement with Singapore as well. I believe if the foreign minister can intervene, then there is no issue. Honorable Deputy Speaker, I would like to propose. It was I who lodged a complaint against the bond scam. Various investigations were carried out. Investigations were carried out by the Bribery Commission as well. And the main accused of this crime, Arjun Mahendran, has not been brought to this country. As a country, we should be ashamed that the person who was behind one of the most serious financial fraud act, Arjun Mahendran, has not been brought to this country. We have been failed to do so. So there is no issue sign agreements with various countries. These agreements are reached. If a person has committed a crime, then both countries will take measures to punish those persons responsible. But 4 years have passed for the bond scam. Until today, the man accused of this incident, Arjun Mahendra, has not been brought to this country. They say the value is a trillion or billion. The amount cannot be calculated. The amount that was suffered financially or lost financially, as well as the reputation we lost, the reluctancy of foreign investors coming into this country, I believe that cannot be calculated by any manner. So therefore, I would like to request the State Minister. You are a young leader. There are so many young leaders. and a clean leader. I also served in that government. However, although I held a portfolio, I did not approve any illegal financial fraud or and try to prevent such frauds to recover this large amount which was robbed. There was a need to create a mechanism to recover the lost money. A presidential commission was appointed and evidence was gathered properly, and the entire country knew who were behind this fraud. And although all this information was revealed, no proper program has been prepared to recover the lost money. To file cases regarding this matter, an act was moved to the parliament. The due date had been postponed. Tabling of the act was postponed by the government indefinitely. You are aware, the people are very much keen about this matter. You represent the United National Party, and as a very honest politician, you will also accept that the fraud we suffered, not punishing the person responsible and not recovering the amount that was lost, I believe you will not have good reception from the society. I know that even the UNPs, most of the UNPs will not accept this fraud. There are backbenchers of UNP and young members. I would like to urge all of you to take forward this process. Make your name clean. When such fraudsters are at large, then you won't have a good reputation. Two more persons who were involved in this fraud, the son-in-law and the uncle, has been released. They have been granted bail. I know that the accounts have been freezed. Sometimes they will release that money as well. If we cannot recover the billions of money that was lost, then taking any action or signing such agreements won't help us to rectify the situation. I know that the UNP has implemented a program called Gampanalia. I urge you to carry out an expedited program to recover the lost money. Then the amount that is given under the Gampanalia program, you could have given billions of rupees for Gampanalia projects. So I would like to say that this is a very essential program that should be carried out. Furthermore, Honorable Deputy Speaker, there are various rackets in this country. The Sri Lanka has become a hub of drug racketeers. Large haul of drugs have been seized and they are coming in containers. The brainchild of these rackets are in foreign nations. So we need to have a program to arrest those racketeers. We know that the minister who is in charge of law and order is His Excellency the President. He has already implemented the program. And if more money is required, or if the officials require a foreign training, or to bring the suspects to this country, we are ready to provide those facilities. Sri Lanka has become a transition center of drug racketeers. Drugs are being provided to various other countries from Sri Lanka. Foreign nationals have been arrested, and this has been proved that Sri Lanka is a transition center. And we are all aware that drugs are being distributed throughout the country as well, not only in heroin, various pills and various other drugs are being sold. The school children are addicted to the drugs. The transactions are being carried out through the Easy Cash system. Easy Cash system was created to create transactions more, to carry out transactions in a convenient manner, but it is misused by the drug racketeers. So we need to develop our secret information units. The people should be enlightened as well. The civil security committees should be strengthened as well. When the terrorism was there, they gathered information against terrorism, but subsequently those civil security committees was non-functional. But we require those committees to be reactivated to prevent the drug menace. Furthermore, on the other hand, Honorable Deputy Speaker, this is the first speech of an important debate. I don't know whether there is a quorum. Only two members are from the ruling party. We are spending a large amount of money. We are spending a lot of time. This is one of the acts presented by the government. If this is not a proper situation, I raise in the quorum. Yes. You started 2:14 p.m. You have 2:23. Thank you.
ඔබතුමා කතා කරන්න.
Continue your speech. Honorable Deputy Speaker, there is no quorum. If there was no opposition members, we won't be able to hold sittings. It's okay. You have moved a very important act under the extradition law. Not only Arjun Mahindran's incident, the incident, drug racketeers incident, I was explaining my views about those rackets. There is more serious issue other than that, that is underworld activities. These underworld activities are led from foreign countries. The leaders are in other countries. Ransoms, demanding ransoms and kidnapping are being carried out under the supervision of underworld leaders who are in foreign countries. These persons are hiding in foreign nations. We have a security force and an intelligence unit capable of detaining criminals who were hiding in foreign countries. So the criminals who are responsible for the central bank bond scam, I would like to request Honorable Malik Samarawickrama, you have implemented an expedited development drive. To clear your name, you should reach an agreement with Singapore to make your names clear, bring Arjun Mahendran and recover the loss of the lost money by bringing various new acts and bills. We will create a mandate for that, to clean your name as well as to clean our country. The persons who supported those activities should be detained. If we can carry out this process properly, the money that was looted, you can solve issues. The money is in their accounts. You can give more money under the Gampariya program. The backbenchers, they are ready to carry out a development drive. When we are in the ruling party, there are various demands to construct the road, to provide electricity. So if you can recover the lost amount, then you'll be able to carry out those projects in a more efficient manner. If you are moving motions that are in favor of the people and the country, then we won't be against those motions or proposals. We do not want to deteriorate the situation of the country. The expected goals within this period, we as a government has failed to reach those goals. We have been unable to fulfill the development goals. So instead of dividing ourselves, we are ready to give our support for the activities that are being carried out for the sake of the country. But if it is not good for the country, then we will act before the people. Before the politics, we require a country. The war prevailed for 30 years. Honorable Mahinda Rajapaksa ended the war. Now we require is to create a better country, to save our children from drug records, to save our people from underworld members, and to prevent fraud and malpractices, to arrest persons who are involved in fraud and malpractices. That is the expectation of the public. So we would like to say that will be our expectation as well. The voters cannot come to the parliament. That is why they have appointed people's representatives. They have sent their representatives to the provincial councils, local government bodies. Those persons are sent to those relevant institutions, not for the sake of themselves, but thinking that they will serve the people, or they will bring up the matters of the people, or intervene for the matters of the people. That is why we are here as well. So we are not against against the people-friendly policies, but if they are against the people's aspirations, then we will be against them. And while I'm saying that we will support this act, and I would like to request you again to reach such an agreement with Singapore, and you should clean your name as well as clean the country, and we will support that cause as opposition. And thank you very much. Honorable Mujibur Rahman, you have 15 minutes. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. The extradition, the agreement that was reached with the Turkey on extradition law, I would like to express my views. As a country, we will have to reach such agreements. Honorable Chair, he who spoke before me, he focused his attention on reaching such an agreement with Singapore. We all know that we have discussed the matter in this house, and there is a commission appointed by the President, and a case has been filed based on the findings of the commission. And Arjun Mahendran has left the country, has fled the country, and the police is also carrying out investigations. Although there is an extradition agreement with the Singapore, since Singapore is a Commonwealth country, then that person could be found under the, because since it is a Commonwealth country, and a request has been made to hand over Arjun Mahendran to Sri Lanka. As the UNEF government, we have no intention of covering up the incident that took place at Central Bank. As parliamentarians, we demanded to carry out a proper investigation and punish the offenders. And I was amazed with the speech you made, because the President appointed a presidential commission on serious acts of fraud and malpractices, and a final report has been issued, but no person has been filed a case, and no legal action has been taken. The fraud that have been taken place, according to the report, it is more serious than the bond scam. You should go before the President and appeal the President to file cases against persons who have been found guilty from the report. You always talk about persons of one side, similar to Arjun Mahendran. Udayan Virutunga should be brought back as well. What I said was that I was a member at that government as well. What I want to say is that all the persons should be arrested. We will support those actions. Any act that eradicate fraud and malpractices, we will support that activities. And I would like to remind you, the final report of the Presidential Commission on serious acts of financial fraud and malpractices. Names have been mentioned, and you should send those names to the Attorney General's Department to file cases. If such an incident has taken place in the central bank, then we won't be against taking actions against the responsible parties. A case has been filed and the case is been heard, and several persons have been granted bail. When the final report was issued, the president said that such serious financial fraud have taken place from year 2009. When issuing bonds, serious fraud and corrupt activities have taken place. We requested the president to appoint a commission to look into these matters as well, and the president pledged to appoint a commission, but that has not been done. And furthermore, the police is under the purview of the president, so the president has no obstacle to arrest persons responsible, so there is no one to prevent him or to tackle him. There are no person to backstab him. He is the executive and he has the executive powers, and he has the powers as well as the legal powers to carry out to arrest persons responsible. When we talk about the central bond scam issue, central bank bond scam issue, we have no issue of carrying out investigations. What we hope is to create a country free of fraud and corrupt. But when we express our views, then we should not be one-sided. We should talk about fraud and malpractices that have been done by every side. You represented the government as a cabinet minister. Several findings have been made by the commission, but no action has been taken. As far as I know, there were two acts to be presented to the House based on the findings of the commissions to file cases. But that proposal has not been tabled. You, from your side, it was postponed. You can move that motion and you can file cases. This report has been can be sent to the Attorney General's Department and cases can be filed. So what is the requirement of moving a motion? There was a special act and it had been passed in the cabinet and it was delayed as well, and it was due to be presented to the parliament, and then again the president informed that this act should be moved to the house as soon as possible, but and the dates were fixed, and Honorable Kiriyala postponed it again. If you can move that act tomorrow, if you need a special date, we can discuss that at the party leaders meeting.
And after passing this, based on the reports, you can file cases. And that is why I state both these acts, both these reports are relevant to that. And Honorable Deputy Speaker, what I wanted to say is that we should not delay these things, as you state, His Excellency recently has stated that the year 2019 will be an year to stop fraud and corruption. It's a good decision. He is the leader or head of the cabinet, so he can take measures or push things forward if there is any delay anywhere. First of all, you have to present the act to parliament. If you don't do it, His Excellency can't do anything. First, you have to present it to the House. If the President can dissolve Parliament and postpone sittings, why can't he instruct these things to be expedited? I think you will have to inquire as to why there is a delay and as to what happened, what's happening to the Act. This is not an allegation, but it's better for you, better for us, and better for the country to debate on this Act as soon as possible. If there is a delay from our side, we will look into that, because what we need is also to complete these things swiftly, because otherwise there would be no point in talking about the fraud and corruption that has taken place during the past 7 to 8 years. The good governance government has taken many actions regarding this. The commission to investigate bribery and corruption was made independent, and it was functioning very well, and staff was provided, and the salary anomalies of the officers were addressed, and salaries were increased. Such measures were taken by the government. And also the presidential committee is also functioning, and that is why we were able to take certain decisions during the past period, because we all want to complete these things. Therefore, we expect, Honorable Deputy Speaker, in the coming few weeks, if the member says that there is a delay, if there is such a delay from our side, we will definitely intervene, and in our party meeting we will discuss about it and we will expedite the matters. And also, Honorable Deputy Speaker, when talking about this Act, especially this is about the extradition law, we need this kind of agreements with other countries, because in the world there are drug smuggling and trafficking cases, and along with that the international links, and maybe related to the underground activities or drug deals or antisocial activities. We have to identify the perpetrators, and this extradition is important there. So we need a law or an agreement like this. We have signed an agreement with Turkey as well, and we talked about it yesterday in Parliament, and there was a debate on this matter. And there too we explained that as a country we can't go forward alone. We have to have links with the other countries in the world, and we have to make these links favorable to our side, and we have to get positive outcomes. When we look at the world and the future journey of the world is like a small village today. And it is not the world that we used to see or used to study when we were small. It is not the same world map which is available today. Now, in few minutes and few seconds, we can get connected with the whole world. Technology is so developed and complex, so the whole world has become a village. So with this kind of transformations, we will definitely have to go forward hand in hand with the other countries. For that, we need agreements. We need to enter into agreements with other countries, because with the development of technology and science, crimes also have increased. People may achieve development, but if we engage in crimes and other things, such things have increased almost in every country. When you take a country like America, technology is very well developed, but in their country too, these crimes are reported a lot. They have enhanced or taken security measures, and they utilize modern technology to take security measures, but still they have failed to ensure their security and to control crimes. It is common to all the countries in the world. So in a situation like that, sometimes the perpetrators that we need are living in some other countries. So this kind of agreements will be helpful for us to bring them in. And this extradition agreement, which is signed with Turkey, is really important for us, and it will ensure our security. And in future, we will have to enter into agreements like this with other countries too. And sometimes the underworld, we have to control underworld activities and drug smuggling cases. For that, we need the support of the other countries. We are living in such an era. We don't support the old-fashioned laws now. We could see in certain states, in certain countries, when a person does something in one state, he can go to another state and stay there, and that person will not be arrested in some other state. In countries like America, they have very big states, so a person may commit a crime in one particular state and go to another state. But now things have changed, laws have changed, and technology is developed, so we are able to discover the perpetrators wherever they are. So technology is so developed, and we will be able to use these laws to minimize antisocial activities in our country and to control underworld activities of our country. These kind of agreements are really useful for that. And also in future, we will be able to minimize the number of people who engage in this kind of deals in future by this kind of laws. Thank you. Honorable Anupriya Darshana, you have 20 minutes.
Kathanayakathumani.
Honorable Deputy Speaker, what we mean by this extradition law is to have a link with the other, have links with the other countries to see whether a perpetrator, or by Deputy Chairman of Committees to take chair.
Continuing.
So this is a very well recognized tradition in the world, but our law regarding this has been passed in 1977. It's the Act number 8 of 1977, but it has certain restrictions. When a certain person is arrested or a warrant is issued in that regard, the particular person, the perpetrator, can make his submissions in that regard. If it is a request made on political grounds, or if it is based on religion or ethnicity, then in such instances too, the particular person is able to make his submissions. That is how this law has been formed. However, I agree with the other members who expressed their views. In our country, we have a big problem because we know that on the one hand, there are people who have committed offenses or who are suspects of our country. They use our country to engage in these crimes, especially they do underworld activities here in our country. But I think that they seem to be silent here. Now, not only with Turkey, sometimes with it's time to enter into extradition treaties with Middle East countries as well. If not, this is going to be a very big problem, because Sometimes it seems that drug smuggling is at a higher rate now. Some of these drugs cannot be consumed in Sri Lanka even. It is, the stocks are so massive. And we get information from police stations, and anyway, the arrests are done in a very slow manner. And also, I would like to draw the attention, Honorable Deputy Chairman of Committees, to the fact that our country is an island. I think the former Field Marshal is here. I think he is an expert on this. The smuggling started in 1960s and 70s, and during that period we had an issue regarding the Kallathonis, and now Sri Lanka was used as a hub for transporting or drug smuggling this cannabis and heroin and ecstasy and other tablets are used by Sri Lanka, and this is a burning issue faced by our young generation. If we are to change these situations, we have to take measures along with the extradition treaties. We have to ensure marine safety and security. Sometimes, for example, when you take a country like Sudan, they don't have three armed forces. They have only one military service. I don't know as to how this can be changed. All the three armies come under one section. I don't think that the same thing can be done in Sri Lanka, but our navy should be strengthened. Or if not, the Coast Guard officers or the service should be strengthened, and through that, if we can use technology and prevent importation of drugs, it will be better. Sometimes we sign these extradition laws, but some of our perpetrators are not there in these particular countries, and their perpetrators, offenders are not here. Sometimes we know about our terrorist threat that we faced, and during that time, some certain persons who engaged in crimes here migrated to other countries. So did they send those people back to our country as per the extradition laws? No, that didn't happen. So some of these laws are not practically implemented. That is my view. These are just a fake attempts, but they are not practically implemented. And we know we had a war which continued for 30 years. And the people who did crimes in Sri Lanka migrated afterwards. And the act was introduced after 1977, and the Commonwealth countries could implement this. This was relevant to Commonwealth countries. If a certain crime is common to two countries, then they can have a discussion and exchange the culprits. But this didn't happen. The reason was, then the other party can build up a basis of their own and file a case. And for that, they may come out with a political reason, or if not, they may arrest the perpetrators and try to mete out punishment. And then the case will be heard for a long time. I will not waste my time to read this act, but these things are contained in the act, and you may know what it contains and as to how to respond in different questions like this and how to file a case against this kind of things. Then extradition will not happen when a case is there. So how many perpetrators or murderers are living in other countries? Sometimes they use their real names, sometimes they use fake names. What they say is that they don't talk about terrorism and they say something else. So I think our country has to think about these things in a better manner. We talked about the devolution of power, and we talk about laws and liberalizing. It's good to talk about those things, but when these things are practically implemented, we will have to face many issues. These things should be done. We are an island, and during the past 50 to 40 years, we had to face many obstacles. And we have to think about the number of people who had to sacrifice their lives as a result. And some of them, they had to create their own problems as a result. And we had to think as to why it happened. We had to find answers. And many of our members said that our country is now full of drugs. And this kind of, this amount of drugs was not imported to our country in the history. Some say that cannabis has been discovered, and other types of drugs, drug varieties and pills and all. But we are not able to protect or ensure the security of our marine border. So we had to take measures to do that first. I can remember in 1970s during Srima Bandaranaike regime, we had, especially in northern and eastern coastal lines, we had a coast guard service which was handled by the army officers. But afterwards, when the government changed, all those changed. The Tamils, it was not to control Tamils or any other party, but those services were established to prevent smuggling. And I think immigration officers were also located in those places. We had to take such measures to protect our island. Without taking those primary measures, we would be just shouting when something happens. But I think what we have to do is to increase our navy number of the Navy Department, and the Coast Guards should be recruited, and the helicopters and other needed appliances should be provided to them if we are to protect our country. These things will not affect people much. In certain towns, they are not able to keep their clothes on, to put their clothes to dry, because these heroin consumers sometimes rob those things. And also the member, if there is such a person addicted to drugs at home, he will take everything at home and sell to find money. We have never used these laws for extradition activities and purposes, although the laws are available. Some say that there are such people in India and Mumbai, but we have never used these laws practically. And Commonwealth countries come under this, and many other countries have signed this with many other countries, and now today we are signing one with Turkey, but nothing is relevant. If there are persons who have committed international crimes, which are internationally recognized as crimes, then we can do this, engage in this exchange process. We talk about these things, but when we try to answer a question, we are never ready to do that. That I would like to emphasize to the House. Even Parliament has just become a place to talk, and people have lost their confidence in Parliament and in members of Parliament. Most of the people think that the members of Parliament are only interested in earning money. I don't believe that, but we have to change this view, these opinions, and if we are to make these discussions fruitful, you will have, as the government members, you will have to practically implement these things. We from the opposition would always help you, irrespective of party politics, because these are things which are really needed for a better future for the country. There will be no point in accusing people but instead we have to focus on better ideas. At least you have to, you must try to bring the perpetrators at least from a Commonwealth country. If you are not doing it practically, we will just be weak legislators. We just talk about laws, but nothing happens finally. This is a very good piece of legislation. Within this, the perpetrator is also allowed to make his submissions, and the links between countries will be nourished. As I know, there is a very big issue between America and Turkey regarding one person, one member of clergy. They are requesting him to be handed over, but that doesn't happen. So we have to understand such backgrounds as well. We will have to use this kind of laws against social corruption. First, we have to address the basic factors that should be addressed. Otherwise, there is no point in passing laws. The government should pay attention towards that, and I would like to draw the attention of the government towards that. We will support this, but we have to identify the seriousness, the gravity. People have faced a lot of negative outcomes as a result. Our country is a very beautiful country, full of free and independent people. There are people with aesthetic values, but now what we hear is about, we should not try to make it a country with suffering. Maybe extradition law or any other law. These laws should be utilized against the illegal activities happening in the country. Thank you.
ගරුක සභාපතිවරුනි, අද විශේෂයෙන්ම ශ්‍රී ලංකාව සහ තුර්කිය.
Today we are signing the extradition treaty between Sri Lanka and Turkey. And we are talking about this relevant act. Especially, I believe that several members, MPs and ministers stated about this, not only between Turkey and Sri Lanka, but even among other countries, we have certain transactions. And sometimes visits. A person may do a crime in that country and come to this country. But people will not go from this country to other countries much. Many ideas were expressed by ministers and MPs about this, but they mentioned a lot about certain offenders. There are certain countries to which they can fly after such a crime. With the support of the Attorney General's Department, we have to promote this kind of laws to stop this kind of activities. And here people, members were talking about Arjuna Mahendran too. It is true that we had to arrest him. And also during the past period, we had several diplomats are anyway appointed to represent the leader or head of the country, and those ambassadors, and we know about Mr. Jayal Vikramasuriya, he was one ambassador. He doesn't return to Sri Lanka. Warrants have been issued by the Sri Lankan courts against him. But if we had entered into an extradition agreement with that country, we would have considered this people as perpetrators, and then we would be able to bring them in. Jali Vijayasuriya is an ambassador, and that means he is a representative of the Excellency, the President. So if this kind of people waste our money, they should be punished definitely. For that, we have to enter into agreements. And we know one, Udayanga Veerathunga. He was the ambassador of Russia. He was a relative of the former minister. Both these people are relatives. and we have to enter into agreements with those countries as well. It's really necessary to do so. But these things don't happen today. We consider these people as perpetrators, and when these things get publicized, we could remember our former minister, former president going to those particular countries and meeting these perpetrators. Once he had gone to Japan and met Udayanga, and certain photos were disclosed. An Honorable Arundhika was sitting on the speaker's chair for a complete day. And then he took the chair away. And he had taken one photograph with him. And Udayanga Veerathunga had taken some photographs with him. But as an ambassador, he represented our leader. But he has engaged in certain weapon dealings in those countries. And not only that, when you take the underworld, Honorable Deputy Chairman of Committees, around 3 to 4 underworld members are killed each month. Makandure Madhush is living in Dubai, in Middle East. But many of his followers or supporters, we could see through internet and newspapers that Madhush's father has passed away, and many of his supporters had gone to that funeral. So if we have extradition laws like countries like Dubai, Middle East and India, it's easy for people to migrate to these areas, these countries. We talked about drugs too. Recently, stocks of drugs were discovered. Most of these items were imported from Pakistan via India and MENA. So if we have extradition laws with these countries as well, then we will be able to take action against the particular drug dealers. We will be able to do that exchange. So it's really important for all the countries, and if this law is properly implemented, it will be really useful. And also, I can remember former Minister Honorable Mahinda Amaravira spoke about Arjuna Mahendran. We admit that we have to arrest him. And also there are doubts as to why most of these perpetrators are not arrested. We can remember our president during the past period, he conducted a presidential commission, and it was established at BMICH, and a report like this was formulated by them. And it was about the about a name list about the persons against whom cases should be filed. But what did he do about it? He has...
The intelligence department is under the president, even the police department is under the president, and even during that period, the attorney general department was under his purview. Even during that period, when the police department was under us, he gave orders to police, and when required, he summoned the IGP, and he also ordered certain police officers to be transferred, especially in the Polonnaruwa district. Even though there is a police commission on the orders of the president and his brothers, the OICs were appointed to various police stations in Polonnaruwa district. And so even though Earlier the police department was under the Sagar Ratnayake, and subsequently it was placed under Honorable Ranjit Madhu Bandar, but still President was able to get things done through the police department. Even though the police commission was there, certain orders given by the commission have been disregarded. Recently, the 72 transfers ordered by the commission but suspended. Therefore, I would like to request him that this specific report has mentioned about frauds took place in ITN. Yesterday, it was revealed in this house as well, and the funds have been withdrawn from the ITN fund. But no action had been taken against the persons who have been involved in withdrawing money from the ITN fund. Then similarly, Honorable Presiding Member, today, after many years, CTB is making profits. After many years, CTB has started making profits. Now, some CTB depots have also been able to purchase their own buses. I can remember that during the tenure of previous chairman, the chairman themselves came to depot to pay salaries of employees, CTB employees. But this year, even a bonus was paid to CTB employees amounting to 13,000 rupees. Now, today, CTB depots are making profits. Why is that? Because we have been able to establish efficient administration in CTB depots. I mean, in the past, it was not so. The former president, Mahinda Rajapaksa, too, was involved in some activities with regard to CTB, which caused losses to the CTB, and especially during electioneering, a large number of CTB buses were used, but money was not paid for those buses. But recently, we held a meeting, and then we used CTB buses to transport people to Colombo, but we paid the specific amounts to the CTB depots, and today CTB is making profits. And recently, the president stated that in the Nilwala project, in the year 2012, 1,000 million rupees was obtained for the Nilwala project. But no action has been taken to launch the project. In the year 2012. I believe that it should have been done by the then irrigation minister. This was stated by His Excellency the President. It has also been reported in the internet. It is there in my computer as well. And recently the President stated that nothing has been done, even though rupees 1,000 million rupees have been obtained. And altogether 4,200 million rupees had been obtained for Nilwala project, but the project has not been launched. So His Excellency the President can look into this matter. I can't remember in the past when there was a very good chairperson in the bribery commission, and she started to probe many fraudulent activities, but she was asked to leave her post. When we say that if there are thieves in both sides, they should be caught. Now in Ponnaru district, many large-scale robberies have taken place. Now the people think that the president of the country observes seal in all poor days, but I know how money has been plundered in Ponnaru district, how various natural resources have been exploited in Ponnaru, sand mines from carpeting roads, huge monies have been exploited. I would reveal them in this house one day. The people of Ponnaru are already aware of this, and some people are talking as if nothing has happened in Ponnaru. Now, recently one of the brothers of the president had stated that he would take measures to catch thieves, and he had also stated that he would chase away all fraudsters. Now today he is talking, as if he has attained Rahathood. Therefore, once again I wish to stress, if there are thieves in both sides, they should be caught. Now we have established an efficient court system. Good rulings are given by the court. But the opposition is not satisfied about certain decisions given by the Supreme Court. Now, Honorable Bimal Veerawansa yesterday stated that judges belonging to certain religious denomination had given bad decisions. But today they are insulting even they are taking cover behind parliamentary privileges. They are even insulting the judges of this country. So through their comments, they have derogated the judiciary. During the past 51 days, a democracy was destroyed in this country. Even a small child could understand this. Even a small child can clearly read and understand the 19th Amendment, even though those who are ruling the country could not understand the 19th Amendment. I believe that even school children can understand what is there in the 19th Amendment. But anyway, an independent decision was given by the panel of judges of the Supreme Court, and therefore they were insulted. And it was stated that these judges were influenced by a certain country, which funded a certain religious denomination. Therefore, honorable presiding member, I wish to state that this order is beneficial to both countries. And I believe that we should enter into similar agreements with other countries as well. And once again, I wish to stress that we should enter into similar treaties with other countries, and that would be beneficial to the country. And thanking the chair for giving me this opportunity, I wind my speech. Thank you. Next, Honorable Dr. Nalinda Jayati, sir. You've been allocated 20 minutes. Honorable Deputy Chairman of Committees, I would like to thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak a few words about this order. Honorable Presiding Member, you are aware we have not heard about the word tsunami before December 26, 2004, but we have heard in the past, in our history, that there, once the sea has come to the land, then with tsunami, then many other words came to usage. There was tsunami relief board, then there have also been tsunami thieves. And similarly, during the past 4 years, a special police unit was established to look into serious financial crimes, and a presidential commission too was established to look into serious financial crimes. And we have also taken measures to enter into extradition treaties with other countries. So even though this extradition treaty was passed many years ago, many people were not aware of the extradition and the importance of extradition. And only during the last couple of years that people have understood the importance of extradition treaties. Now there have been individuals who have misused or abused public funds and people's tax money, and now these people have fled to other countries, and it was as a result of this that this extradition law came into prominence. And it is stated that we have entered into extradition treaties with a number of countries. So even though we have been able to establish such treaties, there are three individuals that should be brought down to this country. So there is no point in bringing down any other individual. The first person is Arjun Mahendran. So when we talk about extradition law, the UNP members, other than those members, other than Honorable Sarath Fonseca and a few others do not remain in this house. We know that when there is kerosene smell, the rat snakes are running away. And similarly, when we talk about Arjun Mayendran, the backbenchers of UMP run away from the house. Now we have passed this legislation. There have been many ministers in charge of the police department. The government had all the powers to implement these laws, but still, the mastermind of the bond scam, Arjun Mahendran, the government has failed to arrest Arjun Mahendran and bring him to this country and implement law against him. So there is nothing wrong with the legal system. Everybody knows where Arjun Mahendran resides today. And even his best friend, Honorable Prime Minister Ranil Wickremesinghe, too is aware where Arjun Mahendran is living today. Once in the cabinet and in this parliament as well, on a number of occasions, Honorable Ranil Wickremesinghe accepted the responsibility for Arjun Mahendran. He was appointed as the central bank governor despite strong opposition from some of the cabinet colleagues. And not only that, when he left the country once, the president stated that he had gone to attend a wedding. I don't know whether even Honorable Lakshmana Kiriala would tell such things to Prime Minister. So it shows the close bond between the Prime Minister and Arjun Mahendran. So when such a person is living in Singapore and when the Prime Minister says he has no knowledge of his whereabouts, then we can't acknowledge it. We know that a person called Kumaran Padmanabhan, who was residing in Malaysia, was captured by our armed forces and he was brought to this country. So we have such a track record. So Arjun Mahendran, who served as the economic advisor of the Prime Minister, then if the government says that the government can't locate the whereabouts of Arjun Mahendran, then we believe that it is a lie and it is a fraud. Similarly, While the Prime Minister who is sitting on the 8th chair protecting Arjun Ranatunga, Honorable Mahinda Rajapaksha is protecting his relatives Udayanga Virathunga and Chalya Veerasuriya. They were appointed as diplomatic officials of this country. They did not have any experience in the foreign service, but due to their relationship with former President Mahinda Rajapaksa, they were appointed as ambassadors. And earlier, Udayanga Veerathunga was earlier engaged in tea trade, and he was subsequently appointed as the ambassador of Russia. Okay, let's forget about the appointment of Dayanand Jayatilaka. We know that he is a political scientist, but Udayanga Veerathunga did not have any such qualifications. He was only engaged in tea business with Russia, and he was appointed as the Russian ambassador. And there are very serious allegations against him. There are serious allegations that have even tarnished the image of the country. It is alleged that he was involved in Ukrainian guerrillas, and it is also alleged that he was involved in MiG transaction, and it is also alleged that he was responsible for the death of a certain employee of the Russian embassy. So whenever Mahinda Rajapaksa goes to another country, when he goes to Japan or Korea or any other country, then Udaya Veerathunga comes and meets him, and they even take photographs. Once I can remember, Honorable Mahindra Rajapaksa pointed his finger at Ranil Wickremesinghe and stated that if he is prepared to bring down Arjun Mahindra, then he too is ready to bring down Udayanthi Veerathunga to this country. So the second, third, fourth citizens of the country, if they behave in this manner, if they continue to protect persons against whom serious allegations have been made, and when they admit that they know about their whereabouts, what's the point in passing these laws? So if we are to justify the passage of these laws, then action should be taken immediately to bring down these persons to Sri Lanka. We know that when a minor offense is committed in our village, when petty thefts are taking place, we know that police take prompt action to catch the culprits. But a person who has been involved in a fraud amounting to 11 billion rupees, Arjun Mahendran, has not been brought down to this country, then there is another person who has been involved in nefarious activities, Udayanthi Veerathunga. They have been able to remain free. Then there's another person, Jaliya Veer Surya. It is alleged that he has been involved in a transaction amounting to $332,000 and he had fled to USA. Now the courts has issued warrant on him on 5 different occasions. Honorable Speaker, rather than passing these extradition treaties, rather than approving them, what we must do is to arrest those persons who appointed these individuals, and they should be questioned. These individuals have been involved in very serious financial transactions, and they have blackened, tarnished the image of the country. So now these individuals are going around the country, and if the government has not shown any interest to bring them back to this country, then we must pass a law to arrest those persons who are responsible for appointing such persons. I believe that example should be set by the Prime Minister and the opposition leader. If not, there is no point in passing these extradition laws. And then I also wish to make a few comments about several other issues. Now, the day before yesterday, when I took part in the debate on the Chemical Weapons Act, and during that debate, a valuable revelation was made by Honorable Vasudeva Nayakar. An agreement was signed. It was about ATSA agreement signed between Sri Lanka and USA in 2007. We know that from time to time, US warships come to Sri Lanka, and once I can remember that even US military aircraft entered our airspace. And as far as I am aware, this was due to an agreement signed by Robert Blake and former Defence Secretary Gotabaya Rajapaksa. When I questioned about this, Honorable Vasudeva Nayakara stated that they also questioned Mahinda Rajapaksa about this. Then Mahinda Rajapaksa had stated that it was signed between an ambassador and another person, and they had not much validity. I don't know whether Honorable Vasudeva Nayakara accepted that answer given by Honorable Mahinda Rajapaksa. I don't know whether he remained silent by accepting that answer. Because we know that agreements, they don't have to be signed necessarily by the President or the Prime Minister. They can be signed by secretaries on behalf of the governments, and this is also a similar agreement. This was an agreement signed between the government of Sri Lanka and the government of the United States. So if the former president, if there is a comment made by the former president about an agreement signed by his own brother, then we are very surprised about these comments. So this is how things take place in our country. So the country, the cabinet have been misled by these politicians. And similarly, this morning, today we talked up, today when we discussed about the proposed constitution, Honorable Deputy Chairman of Committees, until last night, the people of this country, it was stated that a new constitution would be introduced and the country would be segregated into 9 provinces, and this lie was given wide publicity because Honorable Mahinda Rajapaksa gave such voice cards at temples. The votary was right behind him when he made these comments, and he was also accompanied by leading Buddhist monks when he made such comments. Then on the 10th, the Thursday, Honorable Mahinda Rajapaksa issued a statement saying that the third fear before the country was the constitution that would lead to the division of the country. And through this constitution, the government expects to divide the country into 9 federal units, which would enjoy the powers of the central government. And it is also, he also stated that 9 police departments would be established by these 9 federal units. And it was also alleged that provisions have been drafted to undermine the supremacy of the central government. So once any person who would go through this notice would have observed that His Excellency, that former President Mahinda Rajapaksa, would have seen the draft constitution, and as a result of this constitution, the country would be divided into 9 federal units, and powers would be devolved into these 9 provinces. And so the people were waiting, the people were expecting a huge calamity to take place in the country because this statement was made by the former President Mahinda Rajapaksa. I don't know whether he read his own statement. He stated that the constitution had been drafted. But I wish to state that if there's anything else that he had seen rather than the report that was presented to this house today, then we are ready. We are also ready to study such drafts. We would like to know what the government is trying to present surreptitiously without the knowledge of the 225 members of parliament. So therefore, I would like to urge the former president not to make such misleading statements to deceive the people of the country. So now, as we are talking about the legal system, as we talk about serious financial crimes and various other fraudulent activities, the President appointed various presidential commissions. Interruption. The Honorable Member's microphone is not switched on. Honourable Member, you would also agree with us. In the English version, there is a watermark saying draft copy, but in the Sinhala Tamil versions, that watermark is not there. So that itself leads to doubts as to why such a watermark has been included in the English version and why it has not been included in the Sinhala and Tamil versions. Yes, what I'm saying is whether there is a draft or not, or the allegation made by the former president is very serious. And some media institutions have reported that a draft constitution that would lead to the division of the country would be presented in the house today. So we would also like to study it. No, I'm not going to give it my time.
Point of order?
What is your point of order?
Honourable member, I don't give my time.
Honorable Deputy Chairman of Committees, he questioned about the statement issued by Honorable Mahinda Rajapaksha. So even though we have not seen this constitution draft, and the unofficial Prime Minister of this country, Honorable SM, Honorable Sumandiran, he stated that there had been such a draft had been prepared. So he made a public statement to that effect. Okay, right. We of the Janata Vimukti Peramuna don't get excited about statements made by Honorable Sambandhan or Honorable Sumandiran, because we know that constitution is not a love letter. It is not a document that could be passed by just by signing it. In this country, the majority of people are Sinhala Buddhists, and in the Kalama Sutra, the Lord Buddha has very clearly preached that they should not accept anything without studying them. So now today, therefore, the Buddhists of this country should not believe what is stated by Honorable Mahinda Rajapaksa without studying them clearly. So the process for making constitution is very clearly laid down in our constitution. So this new constitution making process, there is a document which was passed unanimously by this parliament in 216 about the formulation of a new constitution. It should be approved by 2/3 in this majority, and it should also be approved by people at a referendum. And we know that even school children of are aware of this. That is the general understanding of these people. Therefore, If a document has been prepared by Honorable Sumandiran, or if a document has been Adekrana, then it would not become the constitution. It is a very long and complex process. We know that such constitutions cannot be passed in this parliament, but even though they are well aware of this fact, and after failing in their attempt to form a government through a constitutional conspiracy, now they are engaged in a campaign to deceive the people, and they are engaged in a campaign to incite racial and religious feelings. So now yesterday, Honorable Vimal Veerwanser made some serious allegations against certain individuals.
Serious allegations leveled against the senior judges of high courts, and he said that one should be a member of a sect, a particular religious sect, to be a Supreme Court or higher court judge. So it is the duty of the Constitutional Council, and two Rajapaksas are there. So, such member should be summoned before the Constitutional Council and asked why did he made such a statement. We have formulated independent commissions and making steps to make the administration independent, and this type of hollow statements and very harsh statements would tarnish that image. It seems that the there's another judgment given by the Supreme Court regarding that Athanatha book, 100,000 rupee fine, and he wants to claim that he would be getting some sort of an adverse judgment because of the caliber of the Supreme Court judges, Honorable W. D. J. Senviratna, Honorable Deputy Chairman of Committees, under the Extradition Act in 2008, it was brought in 2008, and to ratify that, it has been brought here before the Parliament. We know that the Extradition Act is very much supportive of the bilateral relations of the countries. Maybe any punitive offense, when such an offense is committed and fled the country, and once he is found in some other country, under the regulations of this act, such perpetrators shall be brought back to the country concerned. And we have ratified this into our legal system, and some other countries have not signed this, and we have signed with so many other countries of the region. That is why we were able to bring back KP from Malaysia due to the benefit of this Extradition Act. We also signed an agreement with New York, and though we could not bring people physically, in case with any financial transaction or any other offense committed and could not be fined the person in the country, even the assets of that person could be confiscated under this law. And under the extradition law, the receiving country could get redress for so many issues. And when such things occur with the countries who have not signed this agreement and ratified it in their legal system, we find it difficult to deal with, because some people who have fled the country could not be brought back, particularly regarding Udayanga Veerathunga. He was said to be in Dubai, and we sent a delegation. We sent a delegation of officials of the CID to bring him, but we couldn't do it because that country has not signed this agreement. And regarding the case of Arjun Mahendran, who had committed a great financial crime, and he is still at large, and he fled the country, and it is said that he is in Singapore, being a citizen of that country, and we are unable to bring him back. We know the fact that Singapore is a Commonwealth country, yet we are unable to bring him back to the country, even through the foreign ministry and our bilateral ties with Singapore. It's a severe drawback, and everybody knows the fact that with the with the leadership of Arjun Mahendran, nearly 3 trillion rupees has been lost to the country due to this bond scam. So the country has to incur this great loss particularly to the economy and the treasury, and we are yet to bring him back because the law is not that powerful enough. As Arjuna Mahendran did this, so many others have committed the same and similar crimes, and why don't they are not found guilty of these offenses? And I must tell that so many cases have been filed against such perpetrators, and we saw in the some media as well as even in this house, so many people are trying to tarnish the image of Honorable President. I must reiterate the fact that the MPs do not have such powers to sling mud at the President. Under the Extradition Act, there had been some other earlier occasions of some incidents in the case of a local who has blackmailed or hijacked an aeroplane and fled the country, and he was in Malaysia, and during that period the President was late Honorable J.R. Jayawardena, and there was no such law that we have ratified in the local legal system, that but he was found guilty in retrospect, with that retrospective effect, though such culprits could not be found guilty in such other countries, but he could be found guilty with the laws prevalent in other countries, and that is how he was made liable for the offense and punished. Had not Prabhakaran been killed during the latter part of the war, we had to send him to India because India was demanding him for a crime committed by him regarding the killing of Rajiv Gandhi. He was wanted by India, being accused in that case. So under this law, under this act, such regulations are prevalent, and that is why we have signed this agreement, and it is very much a satisfactory thing that we are able to bring the people we want here by our legal system, and to send any culprit of foreign national to such countries. And we know the fact that some locals flee the country and they organize crimes living in some other country. Even in the Middle Eastern countries, they are organizing crimes being in exile. We cannot tolerate that such things happened. The recurrence of such crimes and such financial crimes. And through this bill, I wonder whether the Turkey government, you are signing with this agreement, even with the Turkish government, and I wonder whether we would get any benefits out of this. Anyway, if any perpetrator flee the country to Turkey, we would be able to take punitive action against such people. And we must sign these type of agreements with countries like Dubai.
Amne lokke
Honorable Gamini Lokuge, today Sri Lankan government is signing this extradition agreement with Turkish government. I am pleased to add my comments on that. We know to enhance mutual relationships and to take legal action against the perpetrators if they find political or any other asylum in foreign countries, to probe such crimes and offenses, this law is very much useful. Several important issues were raised today in this parliament with regard to the former governor of the Central Bank of Sri Lanka having committed a financial crime to the tune of trillions and fled the country, and he is said to be living in Singapore, and Sri Lanka is unable to call him back. The funny issue is that Sri Lanka is having very powerful bilateral trade relationships with Singapore, and our country has not been able to bring Arjuna Mahendran. It is not Arjuna Ranatunga, it is Arjuna Mahendran. So we could include such a condition . The reason behind is that Arjuna Mahendran is a very close friend of the Prime Minister. He has recommended this person, and he has taken the responsibility regarding the actions of Arjun Mahendra. And if the Prime Minister of Singapore would protect him, it is a known theft, and it is a rogue, or it's a theft that has been recognized by the Bond Scam Commission and even in the courts. There was a big hahu about Panama Papers, and so many outsiders or foreigners have deposited funds in the Panama banks. Once that unscrupulous transactions were revealed, the Prime Minister of Canada resigned. So if it is the duty of the government to find out the people who have deposited money there, even the locals, the advisors to the big politicians and their cronies and their brothers, and it was there in internet, but our government didn't take any action against such theft. Your government is silent. Even the foreign ministry is doing nothing about it, and they don't probe into the real customers of that Panama banks. And Udayanga Vikramathunga is in the custody of in Dubai. Our former president cannot intervene in that case. But again, the Arjuna Mahendran is at large, and some said that even his son's wedding, our Prime Minister has taken part. We do not say these things are not good, and we are not opposing such things, but there must be a useful outcome for our country. You have signed an bilateral trade agreement, free trade agreement with Singapore. You had a fair knowledge that Arjun Mahendran is in Singapore. When Malik Samarikrama goes to Singapore and when Prime Minister goes to Singapore, they know pretty well Arjun Mahendran is living there. While you are having bilateral trade talks with the foreign minister, trade minister or the prime minister there, you should have asked where Arjun Mahendran is if you are sincere enough. I had also been an UN peer. Now these UN peers are talking as if they are not the government. You were here nearly 4 or 5 years time, so you must take the fullest responsibility. Leveling allegation against Honorable Mahinda Rajapaksa or any other member of our side is useless. Now, we are in agreement with this bill as a responsible opposition. We are supporting the good deeds of the government and you must take the benefit of it. Nobody is talking of this Panama monies, $25 million, $50 million, $75 million, with the names of those depositors. Was there any move taken by the foreign ministry or this government because the names of their cronies are there in that list? That is why the government didn't do anything in that regard. It is useless giving our consensus on these bills if they are not used for the benefit of the country. So, regarding the case of any perpetrator living in US or Dubai or Singapore, the government could take action. Why does this government not doing such things? That is our issue. Honorable Nalinda Jayathis of JVP leveled an allegation against the former president Mahinda Rajapaksa that he didn't make enough exposure about the good side of the draft constitution. If Honorable Sumandiran is expressing his views, if it is harmful to the country, it is our duty to make aware the people. That is what our former president did. Regarding Iraq, the US and the UK governments, how did they tackle that issue? It was looked into by a Tilcot report. after 5-6 years, that report has been published. It says that the American and English armies have committed so many wrongdoings. What did the British Prime Minister say? He said, "I will never take action against the soldiers who fought on behalf of the country." But such people come to our country and ask our government to take action against our soldiers. So this is sheer double standard. You signed agreements with the UN to the tune that our soldiers would be exposed to the international courts. This double standard about these war crimes cannot be endorsed. Therefore, I'll tell one thing to this government. When you sign international treaties regarding the war crimes, please take such action considering the similar issues in the other foreign arena. To draft these committee reports and having probed into so many war crimes and having finalized the committee report and furnished it, once they receive, such head of state say that they would not take any action against their valiant soldiers. So nearly 26,000 were made disabled and a large number of soldiers died for the sake of the motherland. We are still living peacefully due to the action of the armed forces. In the recent floods in the northern province, the poor people were rescued by the army. Sans any racial or such communal feelings. When recently in Kandy, a Tamil family was trying to fight for their survival in a big fire, our single majority supported the whole family to rescue them from that building. The Kandy Traders Association has come forward to donate a house for that family. So did our army. After the war, the LTT soldiers were rehabilitated and they were supported for their livelihoods and for the development of that area. In another case, during the Second World War, some were in the prison until their death. They were not given freedom. Such countries come and give advice otherwise. Therefore, when signing these type of agreements, we have to study how the foreign countries have signed these agreements and implemented these type of agreements. Otherwise, you would become a slave nation. So I urge this government, do not let such slavery to reign. We thought we got independence in 1948, but in the recent incidents we saw that we are still not a free country. The representatives of the embassies who were at the Honorable Speaker's gallery was controlling the affairs of the house. I have been here nearly 30 years. I have never seen Speaker is entering the chamber with a train of policemen with megaphones during the earlier parliament. Honorable Robert Gunawardena, Honorable Somaira Chandrasiri, Honorable Dr. N.M. Pereira were named by the respective speakers and they were taken away from the chamber. Yet they upheld the parliamentary democracy. But when the speaker passed the bills with the voice vote, we got, there were all the issues created. We saw the incident in the recent incident that when a new leader of the opposition was appointed and recognized by the Honorable Speaker, the former leader of the opposition was still claiming that he is the legitimate leader of the opposition. And we have seen the Prime Minister is there, the President is also there, and you see without considering the seniority, so many appointments have been made, even at the Supreme Court or even in the police. Such things have happened. Therefore, we have to think twice whether these committees are independent. It's not for the name's sake. They should be independent in actual practice. Although there is an independent election commission, elections are not held. We have appointed such independent election commissions to see elections are held in time. But they are now acting to delay the elections. What has happened to the provincial council election today?
If everyone is willing for preferential vote system, now who has brought this about? When you try to postpone the provincial council election, the court did not allow that. Then what did you do? You brought an indirective motion to parliament. It was not the precedent, but you did that. Who moved that in parliament? It was you. You said that 50-50 was required at 4:30. There was no 2/3 majority going in contravention to parliament tradition. The speaker continued proceedings up to 10 p.m. and you had the division there. Now you say that you will hold the elections, but it was you who postponed the elections. Now you talk big about democracy. 6 provincial councils have been going on without elections. there was no necessity to cross that mine. If you had followed the former system, then we would have held elections, no elections for the six provincial council governors appointed, and you talk about elections, so you can introduce the bill tomorrow. So it was the UNP and the speaker who deprived the people the democratic opportunity for provincial council elections. I wish to conclude my speech that. Thank you very much, Honorable Douglas Devananda.
நன்றி குழுக்களின் பிரதி தவிசாளர் அவர்களே.
தேங்க்யூ மிஸ்டர் டிப் சேர்மன் ஆஃப் கமிட்டி. டுடே வி ஆர் டிபேட்டிங் ஆன் த ஆர்டர் ஆஃப் எக்ஸ்டன் லா அண்ட் தேங்க்யூ ஃபார் திஸ் ஆப்பர்ச்சுனிட்டி டு டேக் பார்ட் இன் திஸ் டிபேட். பிஃபோர் ஐ டீல் வித் திஸ் த டாபிக் அட் ஹேண்ட், ஐ வுட் லைக் டு மென்ஷன் திஸ். எஸ்டர்டே Shakti Sirasa, Mahabima Salaam, today media institutions had to face a situation, and I vehemently condemn that situation. And we also saw another violent protest opposite the Black House. Now we saw yesterday a similar incident. A media institution can, if media institution acted in a biased manner, you can take that complaint to the press council, or you can take legal action against those media institutions. If any media broadcast or telecast or printed a wrong for.
And we got a favorite edition, and at the circumstance, they have failed to go to that, go in that way, but they have acted in a violent way against the media of this country. This is the media freedom we have in this country. That is my question. Even in the, there are some called the media as a black media in this country. And even yesterday they have launched an attack in the media, and those who came to attack the media wearing the black dress. It is true that the media should show the right path to the people, and they should not be biased, and there is no need for the media to work on particular person's agenda, and at the meantime, whether it could be the private media or the government media, people have the right to express their views. We cannot misinterpret in the media. Those who want to propagate their personal views, they must have their own media's Shakti, and some other televisions are acting in a good manner, and if someone made a mistake, they never hesitate to point it out, and they never hesitate to bring someone done anything wrong to the country. And in the meantime, I would like to say that our party is severely condemned this attack, and at the meantime, those who have been killed, the media person who have killed on the political reasons, and inquiry should be launched immediately. Let me now come to the today's topic. If a person committed a crime in a country and he absconded to some other country, had to be apprehended and he should be legally punished. That is the main reason of the law that we are going to bring today, and we have to deport that person. It is an agreement between two countries, and there is no doubt this is a very good agreement, and this enhances the bilateral relationship between two countries. But under present circumstances, there are some countries to which we have to sign this MOU, and there are some people, those who have caused difficulties to these countries, they left the country. So therefore we have to do this kind of agreement very soon. And the person who involved in the central bank scam, now he left the country and it brings a very bad reputation to the country. And the first accused, that is the former governor Arjun Mahendran, has been named the first accused of the central bank scam, and the international police issued him a red alert, but still he is harboring at Singapore. So therefore the Interpol is not in a position to arrest him, because there is no agreement between the international police and the Singapore. And the similar situations prevailing in Mexico and Nigeria as well, because such countries have not signed any agreement with the international police. At this juncture, this law becomes para important. So therefore when we sign an agreement MOU with the Singapore, we could arrest Arjun Mahendran. I don't think there is any problem for Sri Lanka to sign an agreement with Singapore, because both countries falls under the Commonwealth countries. So under these circumstances, we could sign, and why you are hesitant to sign an agreement with Singapore? And at the meantime, Dubai and UAE, and we have to consider to sign an MOU between these countries that would bring beneficial to Sri Lanka and the people of Sri Lanka. It is southern part of Sri Lanka. Many underworld activities have been taking place, and some prominent leaders of this underworld sought refuge at Dubai. And on the other hand, there are many people, many organizations in Sri Lanka, they involved in drug trafficking in Sri Lanka. So therefore when you sign this agreement between these countries, that would be beneficial to this country. Please sign agreement with this country. At the meantime, you have to sign this agreement with countries like Singapore and Dubai. That would bring a solution for the problems we have been facing in this country. And there are many people have been killed, and violence unleashed against women, and the money laundering and drug trafficking, and those who are involved in this kind of business should be apprehended. So when you sign an agreement with those countries, that would be very helpful for us to apprehend such persons. And on the other hand, and this agreement will never bring any necessity to the countries to arrest the people who sought refuge in other countries. There are plenty of persons who involved in drug trafficking. Now they left the country. You are well aware of the countries where those guys have been living. Please sign this agreement with those countries and apprehend them and deport them to Sri Lanka, and you could recover the money that they have involved in cheating in these countries. And thank you.
D.B. Sanaka.
Mr. Chairman, regarding the extradition law, I have got this opportunity to speak, and I am thankful for that. Under this extradition law, people who are subject to various offenses and who have been punished for various offenses can be exchanged with different countries. Our country has come into agreement with China, Italy, Maldives, Dubai, America, including those we have entered into agreements regarding extradition of offenders, but this government, within these 4.5 years, with these countries, we have not seen making any use of these laws. Under the former government, in countries, from countries where we had no agreements in this manner, even from countries like Malaysia, the former government could bring in offenders. While this government has an agreement with Dubai, the two biggest drug traffickers of this country are living in Dubai now, but this government has failed to have them extradited to Sri Lanka. The main reason for that is because there are people in this government who support these things. Do we need laws like this? The main reason for the necessity of such laws is people who commit various crimes and offenses in Sri Lanka are given the opportunity to leave the country by the people of this government. Arjun Mahendra is the first accused of the central bank scam, but how could he leave the country? Now we are talking about bringing him in from Singapore, but before we do that, we have to see who gave the opportunity for him to leave this country. Honorable Ranil Wickremesinghe says that he would guarantee. Oh, Arjun Mahendra, this is only one person, such a criminals left the country with the support of this government. So before you have people extradited, first we have to have a method that would prevent offenders leaving the shores of the country. It is not by boat that they go, but they leave the country by with the knowledge of the ministers. We have to prevent that, and then after extradition laws, if there are criminals abroad, we can have them brought in. It is because such criminals have left the country that we have faced this economic crisis. As a result of the bond scam alone, 1 trillion loss had been incurred, as it has been estimated. The entire economy has been affected. Not only that, it has been the main reason for the depreciation of the rupee. As a result of this bond scam, only within 2 months of this scam, the foreign investments, nearly 16,000 crores taken out of the country, the investments. That is why the rupee had depreciated. That is why about 30,000 crores investments in bonds and share market have been taken away from the country, and we have to pay for that. Honorable Arvind Karunanayake, as the Minister of Finance, and we had 600 billion in 2013, but Honorable Arvind Karunanayake said yesterday that we had 2.2 trillion has to be paid. If Arvind Karunanayake had said it was 600 billion, how that has become 2.2 trillion? The main reason is that this government should be responsible for the remaining 1,800. With the appreciation of the dollar, we have to pay the loss. And 7,000 billion debt had gone up to 12,000. And with that, this total of 2.2 trillion has come about. And they are trying to push the blame on Honorable Mahinda Rajapaksa, but it was Honorable Ranil Wickremesinghe should be held responsible for 1,800 million out of that installment. We can see the work done by Honorable Mahinda Rajapaksa, but we cannot see any work done during the government of Honorable Ranil Wickremesinghe. They said that they needed good governance. They came to power, but the entire country saw how good governance was exercised. Then they said they needed democracy. The people who requested democracy, there are some groups who demanded democracy. Their democracy is making Honorable Ranil Wickremesinghe a prime minister, but every day, in every instance when
the UNP was in government as a single party, how they treated the media. We know Richard D'Souza, Premakirti Alves, Sunanda of Divina, Sagar Gat Gomas, we know their fate, the whole country knows their fate. Whenever there was a UNP government power, there were assassinations and media suppressions done, and it was started by the appointment of this Prime Minister. The UNP Prime Minister was appointed, and in the first speech, he accused media of being black media. Whatever is said by the Prime Minister in Parliament, the JVP would affirm that, and the following day, Honorable Bimal Ratnayake branded media as black media. Those groups who demanded democracy on behalf of the UNP, and the groups of JVP who demanded democracy went to media institutions, tried to attack them. They threatened media, including the bond scam incident, various frauds and corruption actions are being really informed by the media institutions, and now they are trying to engage in their work by threatening the media and oppressing media. I must remind you that not like in the past, the opposition is powerful. Earlier, though you had the TNA and the JVP in the official opposition, you never acted against the government. Whenever you wanted, they would support you to pass any bill. The JVP and the TNA extended their support, with, be it the budget or any other bill. But this official opposition will not act in this manner. Any bill that is damaging to the country will not get our support. And if any bill is moved that is damaging the country, or if any tax is imposed to the budget to affect the people, then we will oppose such action. We saw Honorable Kiri Allah made a statement that he was ready for an election. He said all party leaders had agreed that he also had agreed to hold the provincial council election. I know Honorable Kiri Allah had been in parliament for a long time. But you know what should be done if you need an election. It is a simple matter. Your government is in office. It is a UNP government. There's only one thing you have to do. Through your minister, now the cabinet approval has been provided to have the provincial council election. You can move the motion. The UNP and the alliance, if they got together, you will have 200. You have more than the 2/3 you need. You can move the motion. If you don't panic before an election, then remove that motion. Honorable Kiri Allah, to the media and in parliament, you said you are ready for election. That is not enough. If your government is ready, you can move the motion, and we are ready to support that. Six provincial council elections have been postponed by in 3 months, that is in April. Southern provincial council also will be into that, and 7 provincial councils are governed through the governors and the administrative officers. Is this democracy? Deprive the people of their voting rights and governing through officials, is that democracy? You have run away with the word good governance, and now we are going to make this word democracy bitter to the people, because you talk about democracy, but you postpone elections and you do nothing but imposing taxes on people. You are the most competent government to impose taxes. By 2017 alone, when compared to Mahinda Rajapaksha government, we have imposed taxes worth 1 trillion, 1 rack and crores. But in 2018, again, when compared to that government, another 300 trillion has been imposed. Who has to pay that? One person has to pay about 60,000 rupees afresh as taxes. All people in that 21 million population have to pay a new tax of 60,000 rupees. The people have to suffer the consequences. You were elected by the people, you are in parliament, and the backbenchers are given 1 lakh crore rolex and 500 crore rupee vehicles are imported, but the poor people have to pay taxes were trillions. They cannot ban that during the Mahinda Rajapaksa government in office for 2 weeks. We showed how we should work. So I make a request from you. Honorable Mahinda Rajapaksa showed how to work, how we could provide relief to people without imposing taxes has been proved. So I make a request from you to think about the country and think about the people and then act. Thank you. Honorable Shehan Semasinghe. Mr. Deputy Chairman of Committees, today we are debating the extradition law, some orders under the extradition law, and according to the situation that prevails in our country today, I believe extradition law has to be further strengthened, Honorable Leader of the House. And we also believe that we should enter into agreements with other countries under this extradition law, and we should take action to strengthen law and order in the country. At the same time, Mr. Deputy Chairman of Committees, I saw when you refer the order paper of Parliament under the extradition law, this gazette notification has been presented. It is the Prime Minister who presented this motion on behalf of the President. It is the Prime Minister who has to take action regarding certain incident that took place in the recent past, the worst scam. Allegations are leveled against the Prime Minister in relation to the scam. The former governor of Central Bank, Arjun Mahendran, is in hiding, and the responsibility is with the Prime Minister in this regard. Because in 2015, I can remember, in February, as far as I can remember, it was 27th, after the first bond scam took place, when we brought that issue up repeatedly, the Prime Minister issued character certificates about the former governor of Central Bank. For 10 or 15 minutes, he gave us character certificates saying that he was such a pure person. Not only that, he went abroad. He pointed out that it was under the Mahinda Rajapaksa government that a competent officer had left the country because he was not used. He said he was one example for brain drain. But what was the outcome, final outcome? The poor people of the country were faced with a serious economic crisis. And in the direction of, under the direction of the Prime Minister, Arjun Mahendran went to Singapore. When red notices are issued by the court, but the government would not accept the responsibility. The best friend of the Prime Minister, later he became an advisor after committing that bond scam. When there were protests, when no extension was granted, then he became an advisor for the Prime Minister Vikramasinghe for the 10 lakh of jobs program. Maybe that is why the UNP emptied the Central Bank and got the financial strength and launched that employment budget, but no person had got a job opportunity under that. So this government, which is introducing these amendments, which is trying to sign new agreements under the extradition law, should immediately arrange for extradition of Arjun Mahendran from Singapore. I believe through this bond scam, if there are not issued to arrest Arjun Mahendran, if the law is equal for all, for the government and the opposition. If the police is taking action, then the Prime Minister should also be arrested and the necessary investigation should be conducted to deliver justice to the people with respect to the money is robbed from them. Therefore, Mr. Deputy Chairman of Committees, this government is well aware of the period when the economy collapsed. This happened with the 100-day program in 2015 and after August 2015 under government of Honorable Krishna again with that government coming to power. Therefore, no instance Honorable Krishna or the UNP or the ministers in the UNP government cannot accuse Mahinda Rajapaksa government. I saw the majority of members from the UNP considered that no bonds came to place in the central bank. There are allegations leveled against the members of the COP who represent the UNP. There is a member who did not sign the COP committee report, he waited then. And there is a group who used footnotes, I believe, including Arjun Mahendra. All those who were involved in that scam were supported by the man. Now they keep quiet about that. If you talk about extradition law, everyone who had defrauded people's funds and who was engaged in scams, if you are concerned about this drug menace, including cannabis and various drugs, if there are businesses involved in such trafficking, we find only the leader of the house representing the government. Yeah, we are happy, Honorable Kiriyalla. We do not endorse your action most of the time because you don't think of the people, but you try to whitewash the government. But we are happy about your presence here. When allegations are leveled against the Prime Minister, when we discuss this extradition law, you are by yourself here listening to these arguments. You had that strength. When the UNP government had been involved in the scam, when the opposition is criticized that, you have the strength to listen to such criticism, and we are thankful to you for that. At the same time, Honorable Deputy Chairman of Committees, Panama bonds has been a popular topic here. We saw certain ministers had certain secretaries, and there were certain other people who were chairman under some ministers and some others related to ministers, how they were involved in Panama bonds, how they had invested in Panama bonds had come to light. So I also would like to mention that we should pay attention to that fact. We know the UNP is highly competent in defrauding funds, and the people of this country are much more forward. I would like to raise one matter, especially the JVP is hurt when we criticize the Prime Minister, Manohar Vikramasinghe. The JVP is hurt when we talk about defrauding done by Honorable Vikramasinghe. When we point out the shortcomings of the UNP government, the JVP is hurt. Now, today the JVP tried, I regret their lowly attempts.
The statement about the proposed draft of the constitution presented by the Prime Minister today, I made a request from the Deputy Speaker that before the debate ends, that how this term draft for discussion is mentioned only in the English translation. Now we have the Sinhala copy, we do not have that. And I have the Tamil copy, and we do not have that in that copy. who are going to cheat. And though you say we are chauvinist, we are not such people. This government is the chauvinist government, and we saw the allegations leveled against this government, and the incidents that took place in Mavanalla and Aluthgama, there are ministers from your government, Honorable Deputy Chairman of Committees, only in the English copy you have mentioned the word draft, and in Tamil and Sinhala copies you have not mentioned it like that. Because you are going to cheat one or two ethnic groups. Honorable Prime Minister very clearly stated that it is a summarized report. But he has not done what he said. And though he said it was a draft, and he has presented the draft of the constitution, and you cannot blame that we are chauvinists, but the party of a person does not matter, but this is our country, and these 225 members of parliament represent this country, and we are in a great danger, and that is the first step taken towards that, and that is the presentation of the draft to this house, and therefore the government should focus its attention on these matters, and the government has no majority, and if they have the two-thirds majority, not only this draft but any act will be passed, can be passed by this government. And we saw how did they pass such acts. 19th amendment was passed, and when it was printed there were differences, and the things we discussed here have not been included in the 19th amendment to the constitution. And how we saw how the government did anti-democratic acts like that, and from Kandy some members were brought to parliament, and the JVP supported that, the TNA supported that, and you violated the democracy of this country. And the president supported to postpone this election. The president did that, and you must have worries, but the president very clearly stated that he wanted to break from the UNP camp, and he wanted to appoint another prime minister, and you were together, and you brought presented acts, and you passed those acts, and now you have postponed the provincial council's elections, and another three provincial councils completes its tenure in this year. And what is the worry? Because they did not have enough time to get benefits, and they got a monthly allowance by imposing allowance of 2 lakhs by imposing taxes on people. The people of this country are starving, but they got an allowance of 2 lakhs. Honorable Sidney Jayaratna, can you speak like that? For the past 4 years, didn't you take the allowance of 2 lakhs? And if you took that, you must deliver justice to this country. And we have no jealous
jealousy against that, but taxes paid by the people were used for that, and therefore honorable member, honorable presiding member, you cannot call us chauvinists because we show wrongdoings. And and I need one more minute, honorable presiding member, honorable leader of the house. I have to make a request from you, and we saw the activities of the government to suppress media in this country. And can you say when do we have the right to speak about media freedom covering your faces? And why do you cover your face if you want to speak about media freedom? The faces were covered to protect the UIP and the JVP and those who owe you using NGO money. And Honorable Ranil Wickremesinghe selected channels one by one, and when he attacked one newspaper, we warned the other newspapers to be beware of such action. And therefore they have started to attack media, and as you try to enact law of extradition, those who sent those thieves abroad should be treated in the same manner. Thank you, Honorable Kanchan Vijayasekar. Thank you, Honorable Deputy Chairman of Committees. Today we are debating on the law of extradition, and I thank you for giving me this opportunity. And today we summoned this parliament for that, and at this time we can see only single minister from the government side. On several occasions the speaker himself made statements to the media that about the cost to hold parliamentary hold a meeting in parliament, and that was more than 50 lakhs. And I would like to mention here that if we are to meet and if we are to bring a law, the government should contribute to that. And honorable deputy chairman of committees, this parliament passed a number of such laws, but we do not know whether the government has taken action to implement those laws. In the past, in 2015, 8th of January, this government came into power, and on the first hour of that, there was the bond scam, and on the second scam took place on March, and the people started to talk about that. And we can very well remember, though we didn't represent parliament at that time, in 2015 at the new parliament ends, and in the co-op reports they proved that. And at that time when they were going to submit the co-op report, they dissolved the parliament on the advice of the prime minister. But the presidential inquiry commission conducted an inquiry, and they were about to present that report to the parliament. And the two main accused were remanded, and the court was the case was before the court. And at that time the investigation report investigation report was there, and that this parliament had only one thing to do, and the under the Judicature Act, the minister has to bring one amendment to create a legal support to enact this act, but if they did that, the things would have been easier, and the judiciary of this country get the power to investigate into those matters. And for the second time, Honorable Prime Minister took oaths as the Prime Minister, and still they have not taken action to present that resolution to this House. And when the President took oaths, the President stated that that proposal is in the locker of the Honorable Speaker. And these laws are brought to Parliament I thank you, Honorable Minister, but I must say
delayed this report. Who delayed right. The when we present the bill, I will show you.
Okay, you can show that on the
27th. I have all the documents to show that there are nothing wrong in our part, but it was delayed by.
You can say who was responsible for it.
No. I will say on the 22nd.
Okay.
Honorable Deputy Chairman of Committees. And they have delayed this, and now they are leveling allegations against some other person. One culprit is in Singapore, and you must bring him to Sri Lanka, and still the Criminal Investigation Department or the judiciary of this country have not taken any step in this regard. And the two main accused who have been remanded were bailed out, and for a long time the case was before the court, and because this act did not pass in Parliament, they got this opportunity to stay like that. And 22nd, it is your responsibility not only to bring that act to Parliament, and from the day after you must provide necessary facilities for the judiciary to implement that law. And those who commit that offense should be punished. And I need one more minute, Honorable Deputy Chairman of Committees. And in the morning, we discussed about the constitution, the new constitution, and we must think whether this parliament has a validity to do that. And the members in the government made complaints to the bribery commission, saying that members are were bought using money from the other parties. And these, if you have such people, can we say that we have validity here to compose a constitution like that? Therefore, the first step is to dissolve the parliament, and we must go for a parliament election, and with the mandate of the people, we can form a new constitution, and we are ready to support that as members of the opposition. And saying, I wind up my speech. Thank you, Honorable Vasudeva Nanakara. You have 10 minutes. Honorable Chairman. This law of extradition is about the agreement we signed with Turkey. And I would like to know whether we have an agreement with Singapore on extradition, and before that I read the act, and in the second section it said that all the Commonwealth countries are bound to that, and I think Singapore is also included in this act. Yesterday we passed Mutual Assistance in Criminal Matters Act, and I would like to know whether this is this has included Singapore, and the research division tried their best to get the truth from the Minister of Foreign Affairs, but the office, the relevant officer is in this house. We found it difficult to get that information from the Minister of Foreign Affairs. And if do we need to enter into a separate agreement with Singapore, or as countries in the Commonwealth, can we take action in this regard? And there's one fugitive.
Modi, the Abaginagan Mukadagatu Pivar
should be brought back to Sri Lanka, and what steps did you take to bring him back, and what were the steps taken under this law of extradition to bring him back? And now we support under the Mutual Assistance in Criminal Matters, what steps did we take, and do we have an agreement with Singapore? And in this trial, two were bailed out because they did not know the date on which Arjun Mahendran will come to Sri Lanka, and therefore without knowing that they cannot keep those two people in remand, and therefore we can see it has supported those two people to come out from the remand prison, and I made the present Prime Minister and Arjun Mahendran respondents for a case on the on a transaction done by the Marine Company, and the Supreme Court cancelled that transaction, and in that case Arjun Mahendran, the BOI of the Investment Board, has committed something wrong, and he gave a tax amnesty to the John Keel's company with getting their investment to the government, and since it was not a new investment, the Supreme Court decided tax amnesty, that company should not be free from taxes, because Honorable Ranil Wickremesinghe's friend Arjun Mahendran was invited to the BOI by the Honorable Ranil Wickremesinghe, and after that the same Prime Minister acted to bring Arjun Mahendran again to Sri Lanka to appoint him as the governor of the Central Bank. He has done this with the Bala Fide intention, and the President opposed that, but he did not listen to the President. And in this house, the Prime Minister repeatedly stated that he can recommend that person, and he appears on behalf of that person, and he gave all those sorts of assurances to this house. This very Prime Minister is very well aware of the activities of this person, because in Marine Company's case, both were named as respondents, and the same person was brought by the Prime Minister to be appointed as the governor of the central bank. And what were his ideas? We can think it is malafide intention, and today we have the law of extradition. We can see how hard it is for you to listen to these things, but I was saying that this Prime Minister is responsible for this Arjuna Mahendran, and you can use this law of extradition and you can give an order. And this is about Turkey, but I'm asking about Singapore. Aloysius Palisseno was bailed out because of this. Can you give a progress report about the steps taken by the police to bring that person back to Sri Lanka? What were the steps taken by the police to bring him before the court? How many times did the court issued warrants? And The court issues warrants and the police does not implement those warrants. And you know, Honorable Presiding Member, the United Nations speak about corruption, and there's an anti-corruption convention with about 87 signatories. And this, according to this convention, the public money of a country cannot be misused and there's an agreement to send those people who were hiding in a country before a court under this agreement. And what steps did you take under this convention? What steps did the police take? And did you give a report to the court in this regard? And the rights we have been ensured under this law of extradition have not been used. And this is an important incident, and that is the biggest scam we have ever had in this country. And therefore, I would like to make a request from this government, at least you must present a report to this house. We must go before the Parliamentary Privileges Committee against this Prime Minister, because he has misled this Parliament. And he has given a wrong assurance to the Parliament, and about a thief he very well knows, and he has misled the Parliament, and we are ready to go before the Committee on Privileges against the Prime Minister for misleading this House. If a person who signed for a bail in a court, he was summoned to the court, and if he did not come, the person who signed for the bail is asked to bring that person, and if not, the person who signed the bond is responsible for that. But the Prime Minister gave an assurance to this parliament, and now the person is in hiding and the prime minister is here, and nothing has happened to the both of we have failed in this August assembly to fulfill our duties to the people of this country. We should set an example to the people of this country, and the parliament should set an example to the judiciary also. But to protect the prime minister, parliament has degraded its quality, and honorable presiding member, the way prime minister acted about Arjun Mahendran is known all over the world, and the president, there were reasons for the president to take certain decisions, and he mentioned this as one reason for that, and therefore we couldn't pass the no confidence motion brought against the prime minister because of the power you have, and though these people misuse that money, though they supported the criminals, though he is responsible for many other fraudulent acts, you were ready to protect your prime minister. Then after this scam, the first election you had, that was the local authority election, and you were defeated at in that election, and now you are afraid for the general election. You were rescued by the judiciary of this country, and by saying a wonderful speech, thank you. House is adjourned till 22nd 1 p.m.
22nd January.